We are up to Perek Ches, 8th chapter. And this is a new section of Sefer Yechezkel, so we'll be starting new tonight. Vayhi bashana hashishis bashishi bachamisha lachodesh. It was in the 6th year, in the 6th month, in the 5th of the month. So what's the 6th month? Elul, and it was the 5th of the month, the 5th of Elul. And the 6th year from what? The 6th year from when the first Golus Yehoyachin took place, when the King Yehoyachin was taken into Golus. If you recall, in the first Perek of Yechezkel, we began the Sefer in what year from the Golus of Yehoyachin? The 5th. So this is the following year. So in the 6th year, in the 5th of Elul, Ani Yoshev Vesi, I was sitting in my house. Vizikna Yehuda Yoshev Lefanai, and the elders of Yehuda were sitting before me. Vati Polalai Sham Yad Hashem Elokim, and it fell upon me there the hand of Hashem God. Which means that he got a Nebuah, he got a prophecy. So he's telling us, he's narrating to us a prophecy that he got while in his house with the elders of Yehuda with him. Vo'eren, I saw Vinei Demus Kemari Esh Mimari Masnavu Lamata Esh. And I saw a form of appearance of fire, like the appearance from the midsection and down of fire. And from the midsection and up, like a shine, like the chashmala, which we talked about in the first parak. This pasuk beis, we had a very similar pasuk in the first parak. Rashi here says the same thing he says over there, which is that it is usur, it is prohibited to delve into this pasuk, so we won't. Pasuk Gimel. Vayishlach. You thought Lashon Hara was bad. Vayishlach Tavnis Yod. And he sent, Hashem sent, a form of a hand. Vayikacheni Betzitzis Roshi. And it took me by the locks of my head. This is something that I certainly could never say. It took me by the locks of my beard, right? Of my head. But he saw si ruach bein ha'aretz uvein hashamayim, and a spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens. Vatoveo si Yerushalayim, and it brought me to Yerushalayim b'maros elokim, the vision of God, which means he didn't actually travel to Yerushalayim, but in the vision he saw himself going to Yerushalayim from Bavel. Al pesach shara pnimis, to the opening of the inner gate, haponet safona, that turns to the north. Asher Sham Moshav Semel Hakina Hamakne, that there was the dwelling of Semel Hakina Hamakne, which is an idol. There was an idol there, which is the idol that it causes jealousy or anger from Hashem, that there was an idol there. Now before we go any further, I need to describe to you the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, because here Yechezkel is going to see himself actually in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, as you know, had a courtyard around it. So there was a courtyard, and then there was the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if you have in your mind a picture of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, in the Midbar, in the wilderness, this is going to be a little bit different than that. It's a little more complicated, there's a little more to it in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the Beis HaMikdash. There's a courtyard, a large courtyard. The courtyard has several entrances into the courtyard from various directions. There's a wall around the courtyard. Now, we are all familiar with the wall because the Kosel that we know of in Yerushalayim that we like to visit, that Kosel, that wall, is the wall of the courtyard. That's the western wall of the courtyard. But the courtyard is a large area, and it's surrounded by a wall. Inside the courtyard, there is another wall, and another fence, a wall all the way around, and within that wall is what we call the Azara. Now, the Azara is not yet the sanctuary. And here I'm going to start backwards. I'm going to work backwards. I'm going to start actually from the inner sanctuary, work my way out, because the inner sanctuary is what most people are familiar with. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash you have the Kodesh HaKodesh and the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark is. That's where the Aron is. Outside of the curtain, in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is the Kodesh, is the Holy, and that's where you have the menorah, That's where you have the table with the lechem apanim, the showbread, and that's where you have one of the two altars. You have the golden altar. That's in the Kodesh. So that area, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and the Kodesh, and the Holy, that is what we would call the sanctuary. That area was roofed. That was a building with a roof. It was a very, very tall building. It actually had two floors. And there's a roof on that building. That's actually a building. Outside of that building, if you would come out of that building and walk down the steps, you would be facing what we call the Azara. The Azara is the area where most of what took place in the Beis HaMikdash happened. That's where you have the large altar, the large Mizbeach. And that large Mizbeach has the ramp to go up to it. That's where the animals are slaughtered. That's where the animals are later are skinned. And that's where everything is cooked, etc. That's where the Kohanim are, and they do their avodah, they do the service in the Beis HaMikdash. In that area, also through a set of doors, is where the Levium would stand, and they would sing and play their instruments. That's where the people would come when they came to visit the Beis HaMikdash. This was this large area. This area, the secondary area I'm describing, is not roofed, but it is walled in. There's a wall around this area, but it is not roofed. Outside of that area, beyond that wall, is the courtyard that I started off describing. So if you're coming from outside the courtyard, you would first enter the courtyard. After you enter the courtyard, you would come to another wall. Behind that wall would be this, I don't know exactly what to call it in English, this Azara, which is not roofed, but you're not in the courtyard anymore. You're now in the main area of service. And then, within that area, there was a roofed building, and that was the actual sanctuary, where you had the menorah, the mizbeach, you had the shulchan, you had the aron in there. That was all in that main area called the heichal, the sanctuary. So there's really three parts, and of course each part has its subsets as well, but three main parts to the Beis HaMikdash complex. And Yechezkel is going to see himself coming into the courtyard and then entering this secondary area. And that's what we're going to see him describing over here. Now, as I mentioned, to get into the courtyard, you had several entrances. There was one on the south and one on the north, etc. Different ways you can go in. He's going to see himself entering from the north. That will be significant. We have talked about directions in the past, and here I am remiss because Ms. Conover told me several times that I should have a chart with all the directions. She's nodding right now. See that? Okay. Yes. 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 Okay, good. Very good. Excellent. Very good. That's Doron. Good. There's also another word for south, which is Negev.
Negev.
Right.
Which north was which side
of the south? Okay. So here, and I did seriously consider bringing in a handout with the Beis HaMikdash, picture of the Beis HaMikdash. And oh, you have one there. Excellent. That's perfect. Although, if I could see that just for a moment, I just want to see one thing. Just a minute. You can just put it down. That's fine. Okay. Let me just point out to you. You see, Sefer Yechezkel, although here we are dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, at the end of Yechezkel, there is a description of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. And the third Beis HaMikdash does not look exactly the same as the first two. And so you could end up, if you look later in the volume, you may see a picture of the Beis HaMikdash which is different than what's being described over here. But that's for the future when we get there. Yes?
There is a comment that you make on the Kodesh 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 Kodesh.
They had the Evan Shasia was there. The stone was there. But they did not have the Aron. What's that? Okay. Yes, but you're right. There was no Aron. The Aron was not there. We're going to use directions over here because we're going to have to describe the whole thing over here. Let's see how the best way to do this. I'm going to go the other way because that way I'll be standing on this side. Okay. Let us assume, for argument's sake, that this is going to be great on the tape when I say it this way and that way. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that that way is west, and this way is east. So you have west, you have east, You have north and you have south. Now the Beis HaMikdash faced west. When you came in, if you wanted to walk directly in a straight line, you would come from the east and go west. That's the way you would go. As you went further and further west, you would get into the you would come to the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKadosh was all to the west. It was facing west. The wall that we have remaining is all the way on the other side. It's all the way on that side. So here, I'm going to describe to you what would happen if I came from the east going to the west. First, I would enter the courtyard. Now, the courtyard is this very, very, very large area. This room is not going to be to scale because of how large the courtyard is. Then I would walk a considerable distance in the courtyard, and I would come to the wall that I described, which closes in the Azara. I would go through there, and now I would be in what they call the Ezras Nashim, but the truth is, as is true in many Ezras Nashims, men were in there too, except for the times when the women were there. So you had the Ezras Nashim. The Ezras Nashim also had several other functions because there were other rooms near the Ezras Nashim that were used for other purposes. I would continue walking west through the Ezras Nashim, very, very, very large room, not roofed, come to steps. These would be the steps upon which the Levim would be singing and playing their instruments. I would ascend those steps, and now I would actually go through a door, although there's no roof. I would go through a door. There would be a wall here. I go through a door. And now I see the platform upon which the Levium would stand, and the Kohanim would stand, when they would duchen, when they would bless us. And there behind that would be the Mizbeach, the very, very large Mizbeach, where most of the altar, where most of the Karbanos would be sacrificed. I go a little further, which I wouldn't be allowed to do because I'm a Yisrael, not a Kohen. But if I would do it, then I would come to first I would come to this roofed building, as I described. I would have to go up some steps, go inside, and there would be the Kodesh with the menorah, the shulchan, etc. Go a little further, I would come to the separation, go beyond the separation, and here would be the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies with the Aron in there. At the end of that would be a wall, and behind that wall would be a little bit more space, and then would be the wall of the courtyard. This is the wall that still remains standing in Yerushalayim. So when we daven, what then? Not the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the wall of the chatzer of the courtyard behind it. So when we daven at the Kosel, we face east, because this is the Kosel. We would be behind this wall, facing this way, which is the opposite direction from the way the Jews faced when they davened in the Beis HaMikdash, because they would be standing over there, facing this way. That's the way they would daven. But when we come to visit, we can't go over here. This is where the mosque is and all that other stuff is over here. So we can't be over here. So we stand on that side of the wall facing this way, which is an aberration, which is part of being in Golos, part of being in exile. So that is the description of the Beis HaMikdash. Yes?
So, there was only one entrance?
Into the Azara there were several entrances. I just described the one that was on the east side. Yeah, there are many ways in.
There is
a machlokas. There is a difference of opinion how many entrances there were, but according to one opinion anyway, there were 13 different entrances into the Azara. Uh-huh. But into the Kodesh, there were actually three. They were all on the east side, but there were three, which we'll talk about. Yeah, which we'll talk about as we go through the psukim. Another question over here?
Where would they wash?
The kiar, which was the, what do you call that? The sink? There must be a better word than that. The basin they would wash from was in the Azara, next to the large Mizbeach.
In the courtyard, you still...
No, not the courtyard.
In the courtyard, maybe you could...
Well, you had to go to the mikvah. That's different. You went to the mikvah before you came. Yeah, the Kohanim had to wash their hands and their feet before they did the service. That was inside. Right, that's right. They would do that. They would have to do that before they did any service. Yeah. What is that? So, the Dome of the Rock, the mosque, it's not clear exactly where it is. See, we don't know exactly where everything is back there. It's either, we assume that it's either on the site of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of the Holy of Holies, or it's on the site of the Mizbeach, of the altar. Yeah, but I don't know which rock they have. You know, this is all, who knows?
There's a rock that goes all the way down into the tunnel. If you walk into the tunnel, you can see the thing that goes down.
I don't know. It's so obscure right now because we don't know exactly what's what. The whole thing is, the Arabs say one thing, we say something else. So it's not 100% clear what's what over there. But you can certainly speculate. Someone has to have a little more information than me to speculate about it. But it is, I'm sure if you ask someone who's got a little more information, they'll tell you all kinds of, possibilities. Now, the Yechezkel sees himself not entering from the east, which is what I described, but he sees himself entering from the north, from over here. So when he came in, when he sees himself going in from the north, he sees the walled area, but he sees it from the side. And there's another entrance in from the north, and he's going to be entering from there. And actually, the passageway that the Navi is going to be describing is not the opening from outside the courtyard into the courtyard. Rather, it's going to be the northern opening from the courtyard into the walled area, the Azara. He's going to see himself going through that doorway. And he's actually going to talk significantly about that doorway. The fact that it's on the north will be significant as we go along, and we'll point that out. But that's what he sees right now. Any other questions? Okay. So again, let's take that pasuk again. Starting from Gimel. Vayishlach tav nisiyad, he sent the appearance of a hand. Vayikacheni b'tzit yisrosh, he took me by the locks of my head. Vatisau siruach ben haaretz ben hashamayim, and a spirit took me between the earth and the heavens. Vatabeosi Yerushalayimah, brought me to Yerushalayim, b'maros elokim, in the vision of God. El pesach shar hapnimis, to the opening of the inner gate, which means going through that inner wall. Haponet safona, facing the north. Asher sham moshav semal hakina hamakneh, that there was the semal hakina hamakneh, which means this idol which brought up the anger of God. There was an idol that they had put there. Pasuk Dalid, v'hinei sham kvod Elokei Yisrael, and over there was the honor of the God of Yisrael. Kamarel sharisi babika, like the vision that I had seen in the valley back in the I think it was the third parak of Yechezkel, where he had seen this vision in the valley. This is a similar vision that he sees now. I'm just looking quickly to see if it's the third parak. We had it before. I'm just wondering if you're ready. Hold on. This vision he saw in the valley was just before Dalit? Okay, so it is the third parak. Okay, good. Okay. Now, Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Ben Adam, son of man, Sana Einecha Derech Tzafona, lift your eyes up towards the north. Now, he's in the northern gate going into the walled area. So he's told to look towards the north, which means he's told to look in this direction. Right. So he's now turning around to look in that direction, look towards the north, which means he's looking into the courtyard. Since he's standing in the doorway beyond the courtyard, he's turning around and looking back into the courtyard. And I lifted my eyes, derech tzafona, towards the north, and behold, to the north, on the gate towards the Mizbeach, he was standing in the gate towards the Mizbeach. So on the northern side of the courtyard, going towards the gate which would lead to the Mizbeach, Semal Hakina Hazeh Babia. There was this idol of anger that was there, that causes anger, that was there, Babia, on the way in, which means if you entered, there was no way you could miss it. It was set up in such a way that if you came from that direction, you would automatically run right into this idol. So it was set up deliberately in a way that anybody coming from the north would be would come in contact with this idol. Vayomer Eli, he said to me, Ben Adam, son of man, Haroeh Atam Mahem Osim, do you see what they're doing? Toivos Gidolos Asher Beis Yisrael Osim Po, these great abominations that the house of Yisrael is doing here. L'rachaka me'al mikdashi, to distance from upon my mikdash. In other words, to cause distance between them and the Beis HaMikdash. And more you will go on and see greater abominations. In other words, what Hashem is going to show you, Yechezkel, is that as he goes further and further into the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to see worse and worse of what the Jews are doing. So here, he saw in the courtyard on the north side this idol. Now Hashem says, let's go on, I'm going to show you more. And he brought me to the opening of the courtyard, which is the same opening he's in. This is an opening to the courtyard, meaning an opening from the walled area to the courtyard. So he's in that, now he's actually in the doorway. And I saw, and there's a hole in the wall. He sees a hole in the wall. He said to me, Ben Adam, son of man, dig now in the wall. Widen that opening. There's an opening in the wall. Widen it. And I dug into the wall. And I found the door. So he found a passageway inside the wall. Now these gates that went into the Beis HaMikdash, these walls I'm describing, were very, very thick walls. They were thick enough that you could actually have a door in the wall of the passageway. So even though you have this passageway going like this, you could have a door right here. And that's what he found. He widened the opening and he found a doorway to go through. And I came. And as he went through the door, Vayaran, I saw. Vine, did I skip? I skipped, I'm sorry. Vayom Pasuk Tes, yeah, 9. Vayom Reilai said to me, Bo ure'e es ha-toivos ha-ra'os, come and see that the evil abominations, Ashrahim osim po, that they're doing here. Va'avo, and I came. Vayaran, I saw, v'nechol tavnis remes u'behema sheketz v'chol gilulei beis Yisrael. And here, there was all kinds of different shapes of creatures, of animals, of all kinds of terrible idolatrous things that the Jews have made, mechuke al hakir saviv saviv, that were engraved on the wall all the way around. So he entered a room which had various forms engraved on the wall, forms for idolatry, forms of animals that were worshipped. Yud Aleph 11, v'shivim ish mizikne beis Yisrael, and there were 70 men from the elders of the Jewish people, v'ya'azanyahu ven Shafan omed b'socham, and a man named Ya'azanyahu ven Shafan was standing amongst them, omdim lifnehem, standing before these forms, v'ish miktar tov yado, and each man had his incense burning pan in his hand, v'asar anan aktores oleh, and the smoke of the cloud of the incense was going up, which means that he were burning incense to these creatures that were engraved on the wall. Who is Ya'azanyahu ben Shafan? Rashi tells us that he was a very prominent person. That's why he's mentioned by name. Because when he did things, others followed suit. So that's why he's mentioned specifically, but he has not been mentioned before in Yechezkel. Vayom Reilai, and he said to me, Hashem said to me, Haro'isa ben Adam, have you seen, son of man, Ashazikne Beis Yisrael Osim Bachoshech, that the elders of Beis Yisrael do in the dark? Ish Bechadre Maskiso, each man in his room of Maskis. Maskis means a marble floor. It was the custom to bow to idolatry on a marble floor. And it is actually prescribed in the Torah to do that, to bow on a marble floor, a stone floor. And this is what they would do in their rooms with stone floors, with marble floors. They would bow. That's why on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we bow to the ground, we put something underneath us so that it won't be similar to bowing on a stone floor. Now, the truth is, because we have carpeting, one doesn't really need it. But it's an extra measure that we put beneath us so that it shouldn't even remotely be like bowing on a stone floor. But that's what they would do. Ki omrim, for they say, Ein Hashem roe osanu, Hashem does not see us. Azav Hashem is ours, Hashem has left the land. Vayom Reilai, he said to me, Od tashuv tira toivos kevos hashem osim. You'll go on, you will see even more greater abominations that they're doing. Vayovei usi al pesach shar beis Hashem, he brought me to the opening of the gate of Hashem, Asher el hatzafon, that is on the north, which is the same opening. So what had happened is, he was in this opening, And now he had dug into the wall and found a door. He had gone through the door, and inside the wall he saw these forms on the walls and the 70 men offering incense to them. Now Hashem is bringing him back into the doorway where he had come from, which is the same doorway on the north between the courtyard and the walled-in area of the Azara. And so, V'hinei sham hanashim yoshvos mivakosas ha-tamuz. And there the women were sitting, crying the Tammuz. What is the Tammuz? What is Tammuz? It is an idol, correct. Hope this wasn't on their final. It's, okay. The Tammuz, what is Tammuz? It's a month in the year, right? So the Tammuz was an idol that they would burn fire inside the idol, inside the cavity of the idol. They would burn a fire. The idol's eyes were made out of a metal. Rashi says it was tin. And when the fire got hot, the tin would begin to melt. And it would appear as if the idol were crying. Mivakoses ha-Tammuz, causing this idol to cry. They would say that the idol was crying because it wanted your offerings. It wanted you to worship it. And so it was crying to get you to worship it. That's what they would say. It was called Tammuz because Tammuz means, appropriately, heat, hot. That's why the month in the summer is Tammuz, because it's a hot month. And so that's why the idol was called Tammuz, because it was a heated idol. It was heated up with the fire. Now, it is not coincidental that the month of Tammuz is a month of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, where we had some terrible things happen. That's not coincidental. If we have a chance, we'll speak about that in context of this idol. But for now, let us move on. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Hashem said to me, Haraisa ben Adam, son of man, have you seen? O Tashuv Tireh Toivos Kedolos Me'ela. You're going to go on, you'll see even greater abominations than this. And he brought me into the inner courtyard. The inner courtyard is referring to this walled-in area. It's not usually called a courtyard, but in the language of the Nevi'im, you'll find that Chatzar Hachitzona, the outer courtyard, is what we call the courtyard, the large courtyard. Chatzar Hapnimis, the inner courtyard, is this non-roofed walled-in area that we're now describing, the Azara. So he brought me into there. And behold, the opening of the sanctuary of Hashem between the Ulam, between the sanctuary and the Mizbeach. So, he comes in through the north. Now, when he comes in through the north, he's facing the Mizbeach, he's facing the altar. To the right, which is towards the west, is the sanctuary, the roofed building. Ascending some steps, and you have the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That doorway he's now looking at. That doorway between this inner courtyard, this Azara, and the Heichal, and the sanctuary, he's looking at that doorway right now. So he looks at that doorway, which is between the Mizbeach and the Kodesh. The Mizbeach is here right in front of us. The Kodesh is over here. So this area between the two things, right over here. So what does he see there? Ke'asim ha'hamisha ish, there are about 25 men. Achoreihem el heichal Hashem, their backs were to the sanctuary of God. Ufneihem kedma, their faces were to the east. Ve'hema mishtach ha'visem kedma la'shamash. And they were, this is a funny word, mishtach ha'visem is a contraction of two words, mishtachave and mashchis. They were bowing, which is mishtachave, and mashchis means destroying, eastwards towards the sun. So they were standing in this area over here, between the Mizbeach and the sanctuary. Normally you would face this way, because that's the sanctuary. They turned this way, with their backs towards the Heichal, and they bowed to the east towards the sun, which is a terrible chutzpah to turn their backs on the sanctuary where the Kodesh is, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and bow towards the east. Vayomer Eli, Haraisa ben Adam, and he said to me, Have you seen, Son of Man, Hanakel Leves Yehuda Measos Esatoivos Asherasufo? Is it enough? Was it enough for Beis Yehuda, for the house of Yehuda, that they've done the terrible abominations they've done here? Kimalus Aretz Chamas. First, they filled the land with theft, which we talked about the other time. But Chamas. Vayashuvu Lachiseni. They've gone back and angered me. Vinam Shluchim. Shalchem es hazmora el apam, and they're sending the zmora to their nostrils. The zmora means the Rashi says the evil smell towards their nostrils. Vegamani esef echem, I will also do with anger. Lo sachos einai velo echmol, I will not, my eyes will not have pity, and I will not be merciful. Vekaru vaaznai kol gadol, they will call in my ear is a great calling. Velo eshma osam, and I will not listen to them because of all these abominations that they are doing. Just one. I just should double check one thing here. Yeah, okay. Now, before we discuss the entire parak in a totality, let me just point out one thing to you. Obviously, we're describing worse and worse abominations, but there's one that's hinted to. This final abomination, that they had their backs to the Heichal, and they bow towards the sun, there's something that's being hinted to, which is not mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk, but the Gemara says it in a couple of places. And the way the Gemara derives it is because it's redundant. You see, it says that their backs were towards the Heichal, and their faces were towards the east. So the Gemara says if their faces were towards the east, obviously their backs were towards the Heichal. Why does it need to say that? So the Gemara says it's pointing out something they were doing. Not only were they turned with their backs to the Heichal and bowing in the opposite direction, but they were also defecating towards the Heichal. That was an additional insult they were doing. Besides bowing away from the Heichal, that they were doing that as well towards the Heichal, they were defecating. And that was the ultimate insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was going on. So Yechezkel is being shown, and Hashem makes it a point to say, have you seen what they're doing? I'll show you even more. You think that's enough? I'll show you even more. More and more of what they were doing, all the terrible abominations. Now, he's not actually there. He's not seeing this in person. He's seeing this in a vision. It's an open question. Was this actually going on? Were these things actually happening? Or was Hashem showing him something which was meant to be symbolic of what was happening? That's an open question. Either way you go, we have to understand what's being described. Because what's being described is either actual or it's symbolic, but we still have to understand what's happening. So, what are the things that he sees? First, he sees this idol on the northern part of the courtyard, which is directly lined up with an opening, which then you see from there the Mizbeach. So if you're coming from the north towards the Mizbeach, you will run into this idol. That's the first thing he sees. Then he sees in the doorway between the courtyard and the inner courtyard, he sees a hole in the wall, which he needs to widen to find a door. And inside the door, he finds these forms, these graven images on the walls that are being serviced, they're being served, that they're burning incense to them, these 70 men. Then he sees, coming back to that doorway, looking into the inner courtyard, he sees the women being the Vakos of Tammuz, causing this idol to cry. And then he sees the ultimate insult, which is this group of about 25 men between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, facing the wrong direction, bowing in the wrong direction, and ultimately defecating towards the Heichal. That's what Yechezkel sees. So he sees four different types of insult to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem, of course, is setting the scene, setting the stage, for why they don't deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash, because of how they're treating it. It is important to note that the worst abomination that he sees is taking place in a holier and holier place. First thing he sees is in the courtyard on the north. The next thing he sees is inside the wall between the courtyard and the inner courtyard. The next thing he sees is directly inside the courtyard, but still on the north side. And the final thing that he sees is all the way in the middle, right smack in the middle, and between the Mizbech and the Heichal, and he sees the ultimate insult. So the closer he gets to what ought to be holier and holier, instead he sees worse and worse to'eva, worse and worse abomination. That also is clearly on purpose, that Hashem is showing him this, and that's also meant to bring out a point. What is the north? Anybody remember what the north was symbolic of? Yeah, no, well, no, you're right. The human physical endeavor. That's what it's symbolic of. Is human physical endeavor. Materialism is all symbolized on the north. That's why the shulchan, the table, which had the showbread, which is symbolic of parnasa, of livelihood, is in the north. that is symbolic of the physical side of man, as opposed to the spiritual side of man. And we pointed out all the way in the beginning, the first parak, the first chapter, that the reason why Yechezkel sees that the evil will come from the north, Bavel is towards the north of Eretz Yisrael, the reason why the evil comes from the north is because the breakdown was in the north. And that was why there's the galus, the exile starts from there. So here, again, the north is accentuated. You see, that's where he begins to see the breakdown. He sees that in the northern side, there's this idol. But then he goes further, he's still on the northern side, and he sees the images inside the wall. Then he goes further, he's still on the northern side, and he sees the Tammuz, the other idol. Then he goes further, he's no longer on the northern side, now he's in the middle, between the east and west sides, and he sees the ultimate insult. So how are we to understand what is being described to Yechezkel? How do we understand the progression that's being presented to him? Yeah. That's very interesting. I didn't think of that. Possibly, so you're focusing on the number four, and we know the four is significant. And one of the things we know from the number four is the four galus, the four different exiles that we unfortunately have to go through. We are now the fourth one. And that's certainly possible. That's certainly possible. But how about in relation to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash right now, that's about to happen? Okay. Okay, destruction certainly started on the outside and moved in stages, right? As we'll see, it's going to be described in detail in Yechezkel, how it goes, it gets worse and worse. Yeah?
I kind of sense that the punishment cries out, but that also maybe connected me back to the way they come.
Okay. Well, it's certainly Mida Kenegamida, measure for measure, in that they're showing they don't deserve the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what's happening over here, and they're therefore going to lose it. But you're talking about something more specific than that.
The way they're punished, you know, the slavery, and then the young and the Kohanim who are killed, and
right,
taken to Rome, and they wouldn't have, you know, they'd give them empty vessels of water to drink, and there'd be no water to eat, or make the suffering a lot more.
Yeah. Yes? If that's what's happening. Okay. It is unlikely, although I can't say for sure, it is unlikely that these things were actually going on. It is more likely that these are symbolic of something that Hashem is trying to bring out. You see, the one case that we know is symbolic is the hole in the wall. Think about that. He sees a hole in the wall, and then he's told to widen the hole, and he finds a door. It goes through the door. Now, if there were people going in and out of that door, there wouldn't be a hole in the wall that had to be widened. There would already have been an open hole. So clearly, this is not actually going on. he widens this hole. He finds it. He opens the door, and he finds these 70 men inside, and they're offering incense. And where's the light? You know, this is not meant to be an actual case. The Navi himself says that Hashem tells him back in Pasuk Yud Beis 12, after he sees this them offering the incense. Do you see what the elders of the Jewish people are doing? Each man in his stone room, his stone floored room. Because they say Hashem can't see us, Hashem has forsaken the land. Clearly, that case, what was being shown to Yechezkel, was meant to be indicative of what was going on in people's private homes. Hashem is showing Yechezkel, you see over here in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to show you something in the Beis HaMikdash. Widen this hole, go in this room, and look what you see. You know what that is? That is symbolic of the way they're acting. These 70 men that you see here, these 70 men, including this prominent person named Ya'azanyahu ben Shafan, these people, they're not actually standing in this room doing what you're seeing. But in their private homes, where outwardly they appear to be of the leadership of the Jewish people, in their private homes, they're not acting properly. They are bowing to idolatry in their private homes. And that's meant to be symbolic. What they're doing there would be like being inside the wall in a hidden passageway, but in the Beis HaMikdash itself.
Never get the 70
and
the 25.
Yeah, well, the 70.
Well, 70 is 70. I mean, but, you know, I think 70, I think Sanhedrin.
Right.
Although,
Zikne Yisra.
Those people were already taking, you know, those Sanhedrin, those
right.
Real elders were already taking
right.
Those elders, right? So,
these are the remaining. That's right. These are the remaining elders.
How many people that were.
That's right.
What about 25?
I mean, yeah, 25, it says it's about 25. So I don't know what that means. See, when it says about 25, that already shows the number isn't so exact. So I'm not sure what that number indicates. But you're right, the 70 for sure is reminiscent of the Sanhedrin.
To me also, as you were saying it, the fact that it was in a hidden room, so to speak, that, and even though he was a prominent person in doing it, it seems that they were somewhat more private and they weren't doing it as a public display.
That's right.
As opposed to
that's right.
In the Hale Hall.
Exactly right.
Them.
Exactly right. When he sees these 70 men, the fact that he sees it in private means that they were doing their sins privately. The ones that he sees who are more open and more obvious, they're the ones who are sitting more openly. Now, it's important. Let's not use idolatry as our example because it's so hard for us to relate to idolatry as the sin. But let's use immorality, which is something which we can certainly understand and we know goes on. We know people who sometimes outwardly appear pious but are actually quite immoral. And that's what he's showing him. He's showing him that these 70 people who were thought of as very pious people, but I want you to know that in their private rooms, they're not acting properly. And that's what he's showing him in this. If you open up that wall and you go in, that's what you're going to find. And that's what's happening to these people. And don't think that when they're doing these abominations that are in private homes, don't think it doesn't affect the Beis HaMikdash. That's also what's being shown to us. That directly affects the Beis HaMikdash. It is a deterioration. It is a crumbling of the wall itself around the Beis HaMikdash. When people sin in their privacy of their own homes, they are chopping down the walls. They're crumbling the walls. It is a rotting of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a hole. You can open it up. You can find a door. And now inside the wall itself, there's a cavity in the wall that is going to cause it to crumble with their abominations. Now, I would imagine that is the same thing, I can't say for sure, that the other three are the same thing. That when it says that he walked in and there was an idol standing there in the courtyard on the way to the Mizbeach, that would seem to me to be, it's clearly symbolic of the northern side and the deterioration of the northern side, that people were unable to subjugate their physical sides to their spiritual sides, and his physical side was taking over, and it was becoming idolatrous. People were worshipping materialism, which we certainly can readily see today, and that's what they were doing. and that's symbolic of the idol. Now, whether there actually was an idol in the Beis HaMikdash or not, I can't say. But it was on the way to the Mizbeach is very striking, which means the northern side, which represents physicality, materialism, which is meant to be subjugated by the spiritual side so that the whatever is physical in this world can be directed towards Hashem, which is what the Mizbeach is all about. You take physical things, animals and the like, and you offer them to Hashem. It's meant to show a subjugation of the physical world to Hashem. Here on that path, a person is into the Beis HaMikdash, and he's coming in order to go to the Mizbeach. That's what he's here for. He's here for a spiritual journey, and instead he runs right into this idol to show that there was a breakdown. They weren't able to get from the north to the Mizbeach. It just wasn't happening. If they entered from the north, they would encounter an idol. They would encounter people engraving things on the walls. They would encounter the Tammuz being worshipped. No matter what they tried, if you came from the north, you were finished. It was virtually impossible for the people to subjugate their physical sites to the Mizbeach itself. Yeah?
In terms of the idol in the Beis HaMikdash, don't we know from other sources that they did have idols in the Beis HaMikdash at that time? Not at the northern entrance, but aren't there other...
We know of stories of idols in the Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. Right. In the first one, there are isolated stories, but not... We don't know, right? Yeah.
One of the keynotes was, they would hide
behind
the doorway.
Right, so you couldn't see it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So then he goes on and he sees the ultimate insult. Now those are going to be the people, as was mentioned before, who are actually sinning openly. There weren't that many. About 25. It wasn't like, you know, if the 70 refers to the 70 elders, the Ziknei Yisrael, that they're not acting properly. Well, there are many, many, many more non-elders than there are elders. So proportionally, if he's going to see 70 elders acting in a certain way, and now Hashem is going to show him how the multitudes are acting, so if it's going to be in proportion, he should see several hundred, several thousand people acting in whatever way he's going to see them. But that's not what he sees. He sees about 25. So that shows that it was not a rampant plague. It wasn't like what the 25 people were doing was so widespread and all over the place. But there was what we call a chaticha horoya liskabed. There was a significant minority. 25 is still a group. You can see them. They're in front of you. It's not like one or two people. It's a significant group. He was able to see a significant group that were acting brazenly and openly against God Himself. Clear rebelliousness against God. He saw them doing, bowing in the opposite direction, and doing what they were doing towards the Heichal, that shows open rebellion. And that's what he sees them doing. So that is indicative of that group of people of the multitudes who were that bad. So it wasn't like it was everybody, but it was enough people that were held responsible for it. He's also being shown that the deterioration of the Beis HaMikdash and the loss of the Beis HaMikdash ultimately goes back to these groups, to the group that simply couldn't control their physical side. They couldn't subjugate their physical side to the spiritual. That's the first thing that he sees. The elders that are not acting properly in the privacy of their own homes. The women who are Mivakos HaSatamuz, which, since this is a group of women, we should talk about that more specifically. And then finally, the ones who are openly defying God. What is this Mivakos HaSatamuz? Why is it women? Why is it women and not men? The other ones are all men. So when it's men, it could be men and women, but it's generally you're going to find about men. Why is it women? And what is this idea of Mivakos HaTamuz? It's a funny thing, causing the idol to cry. And why are they the third group? They're the group that are still on the north side, but already inside the wall of the inner courtyard. That's true. That's true.
Is this an opposite of what the women did in Asia?
I think that's the spring battle, right? That's right. If the women are doing it, then you see it's gone pretty far. That's true. Please.
I was thinking that the women are called upon to cry in terms of pleading with God. And here, they're not even doing that.
Okay.
They just have an idol that's
going to
cry for him.
Okay, good. Good, very good. I don't think it's coincidental that the crying of the Tammuz is being performed by women. Women are generally more emotional than men. Now, tears are very, very powerful. And we know that, and you brought up davening, which is very important, we know that today, once the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, the gates of prayer are closed. It's very, very hard to get through those gates of prayer. They're closed. But the gates of tears, Sharei Demos, are lo nishlavos, are never closed. They're always open. A person cries sincerely to Hashem, that prayer for sure gets upstairs. And that's never held back. So tears are very powerful. We know also that on Tisha B'Av, when the people cried, when the spies came back with the evil report, and the people cried for no good reason, so we know that because it was a bechiah shalchinam, it was a crying for no reason, Hashem says that now there's going to be a bechiah ledoros, there'll be a crying for all generations on Tisha B'Av. The crying is a very powerful thing. To cry for nothing, to cry for a bad reason, is not a good thing. Crying is powerful. It's a waste of a great strength when one cries for a bad reason. You find, for example, that Esav, when he didn't get the bracha, when he didn't get the blessing, it says he cried. It's a striking thing. He cried over a material blessing. It showed what he really felt was important. The material blessing was so important to him that he was willing to cry over that blessing. This is showing the women who were misusing a very potent force. As you said, it wasn't they themselves who were crying. They were causing this idol to cry and making it seem as if the idol is asking for offerings. The misuse of the crying, where the crying itself is being used in the form of idolatry instead of in the form of prayer to Hashem, is in itself an abomination. And that its place is actually inside the gate, not outside the gate, because it's such a powerful force that when it's misused, that shows a crumbling of the inside of the courtyard itself, the inner courtyard, not just the outer courtyard. So that's something also to bear in mind, to show the deterioration of the Beis HaMikdash. But of course, the ultimate deterioration was the open rebellion against Hashem. Just so that we don't leave off with the wrong impression, the Gemara acknowledges that people cry for many, many different reasons. We're talking about here where a person, you know the difference between a little bit of a cry and a real, real emotional breakdown. And that's what we're talking about over here, where someone is crying just terribly, terribly stricken and upset. To do that sort of cry for a bad reason would be a misuse of a very, very potent force. And that's what's being brought out, which mivakos es hatamuz. Yeah?
It's almost like the spirituality of the woman who directs the home is as directed in
that. That's right. That's right. And I would venture to say, since you brought it up, that the fact that the spirituality of the woman is in the home, so that is also reflective of the home of Hashem. And that's why it would be inside the wall and not outside the wall, because it would have to be the inner part where the home is of Hashem, so to speak, that would deteriorate if the home of the Jews is falling apart as well. That's right. Okay. So we will stop here, and next week we'll start with the 9th chapter parenthesis.